Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" Amen.
It was a wonderful moment. I really thought that I had cracked it. After all the uncertainty, all the questions, and all the confusion, I finally believed that I understood who he was. "You're the Messiah," I told him. And he beamed at me with such delight that I felt that my heart would burst. No one else had grasped it, you see. Not properly. They wondered, of course, but like so many others, they were still guessing, groping in the dark. He might as well have been Elijah or John for all they knew. I was different, and Jesus knew it. "Blessed are you," he said, "for God has revealed this to you and no man." Wow, what an accolade. But then it all went wrong. Just when I felt that I had arrived, the bubble burst, and with a vengeance. I suppose I got carried away. Never stopped to think. Typical me, really. It's just that it came as such a shock. Him going on like that about the future. Everything he had to suffer, all doom and gloom. Even talking of death itself. I wasn't having any of it. "Not likely," I shouted. "No way!" I meant no harm. I just didn't think such things could happen to the Messiah. But you should have seen his face. The anger. The disappointment. "Satan," he called me. Me, his right-hand man. The one who just hit the nail on the head. The pick of the bunch, so I thought. Satan! I was hurt at the time. Cut to the heart, if I'm honest. But can I see now all too clearly that he was right and I was wrong? I still had so much to learn. So much to understand, and I needed a reprimand, a stern hand, if I was to progress any further. I'd only just begun to glimpse the truth, and if I'd have had it my way, it would have meant him denying everything he stood for. He was the Messiah, but not in the way I meant it. He had come to establish his kingdom, but in a very different way than we expected. His was the way of service, of sacrifice or self-denial, offering his life for the life of the world. I see that now, and I marvel at his love. But what I marvel at even more is that even when I understood him so little, he understood me so much. Today's reflections from the perspective of Peter and written by Nick Fawcett help us to understand what Peter may have gone through when he got it so terribly wrong. When he went from a moment of sheer brilliance to utter stupidity, completely missing the point of who Jesus is, the Messiah. Jesus comes to the disciples and he asks the question, well, who do people say that I am? And there is a whole variety of answers that other people have said. Well, some say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist, and some say one of the prophets. But that's not good enough for Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to hear what the rumors are, what the people say. He wants to know what the disciples think. And so he asks the question, but who do you say that I am? And then we have Peter's amazing confession, that penny-dropping moment, that eureka light bulb moment when Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. But how things change. How Peter goes from understanding who Jesus is to getting it totally wrong really quickly. He just does not see how his friend and teacher can suffer. He just does not understand how life can come from death. Peter receives quite the dressing down in front of the other disciples, that Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. What a rebuke. What a reprimand. What a moment to sit up and take notice. Is Jesus overreacting? Or Peter totally missing the point? Possibly a little bit of both. But Jesus has a path to walk. A path that will lead to the cross. A path that Peter did not want his friend to walk. But then Jesus challenges all the disciples with what the true cost of discipleship is. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. If Peter was confused before, well, he must now have been completely shocked and bewildered. Denial? The cross? This didn't sound like the promised Messiah who would save Israel from the oppression of the Romans. And what's more, we would need to follow that way too. Denial was one thing, putting self second, something else, but the cross, that meant pain, suffering, and death. Not really the selling points, and if you want people to follow. But in this challenge, Jesus does not put a gloss on the truth, but speaks of the brutal reality of what it means to be one of his followers. The brutal reality of what some Christians are facing this day, when they truly say who Jesus is. Will we follow God no matter what? Peter learned such a lot about Jesus. Are we daily discovering more about Jesus? Because like the disciples, Jesus asks you and Jesus asks me, who do you say that I am? We may know the Jesus of history, the facts that Jesus was born, that he grew up, that he did the most amazing miracles, that his teachings turned the world upside down. We may hold to the fact that he died and that he rose again. But facts can just be facts. You don't really know somebody until you are in a relationship with them. Do we know the Christ of faith? The Messiah? The Savior? The friend and brother that is Jesus. Yes, we may have the head knowledge of who Jesus is, but do we also have the heart knowledge of who Jesus is? Do we know that Jesus died for us? Do we know that Jesus loves us? We learn so much about Jesus through the Bible, through his teachings, revealing God's kingdom of love, of justice, of peace, of hope, of welcome, of inclusion, of concern for those on the margins of society. But do we spend time learning about Jesus by reading the Bible? What do we learn about Jesus through how we experience him in our lives? As we receive that love and let it sink in, that Jesus loves us just the way that we are, that we are beautiful in God's sight, and that God accepts us just as we are. No matter how imperfect we may feel that we are. What do we learn about Jesus through that radical call of discipleship? That challenge to deny ourselves and to live lives that are so focused on Jesus. That Jesus is our number one priority. 2 weeks ago, you shared in your covenant service those promises that remind us of the cost of discipleship. But the words of the covenant prayer are not something to be said just once a year, but something that is to be lived daily. As daily we put our lives into God's, that we may become more and more the people that God calls us to be. That we may experience Jesus. That we may know Jesus through the times of pain and suffering. That we may know Jesus through all of the questions and all of the wrestling and all of the doubts that we may have. That we may know that Jesus loves us. And I wonder, what do others learn about Jesus through our lives and the life of this church? What picture of Jesus do people have by our words and by our actions? We cannot physically show people Jesus. We can't say, look, see, this is Jesus. Look, he's here. We can't do that. But we can share what Jesus has done for us. The difference that Jesus has made to our lives. The fact that we wouldn't be where we are today without Jesus being with us. We all have a story to share. A story of what God has done and is doing in us and through us, both as individuals and as a church. And our lives can reveal to others who Jesus is. By the way that we see with God's eyes and act with God's heart of compassion. As we seek to welcome all and to love all, demonstrating God's embracing, inclusive, radical and outrageous love. So today, wherever you may be, who do you say that Jesus is? Is Jesus your Saviour? The friend on whom you rely? Are we willing to take up our cross and follow Christ, to be known as his, for our lives to proclaim his love, that we may be open to the renewing and transforming power of God? Recognizing that, yes, the cross was originally a symbol of death. It is now a symbol of hope, of joy, and of new life. In the words of Charles Wesley, let us take up the cross till we the crown obtain and gladly reckon all things lost, so we may Jesus gain. May we today know the amazing love of Jesus. May we know the Holy Spirit changing us and transforming us. May we know that in all that is to come, Jesus is with us and offers us the strength, the hope of eternity with him and life in all its fullness for now.